But let's get to the hotline right now. Welcome onto the show, our buddy Danny Cannell. It's been too long. He joins us courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for upgraded college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week 9 lines. Danny, it is great to have you back on DC, buddy. How are you?
What's up, fellas? Great to be back on. Man, it's crazy. I always am blown away by how fast the college football season goes by. I mean, it feels like just a couple days ago we were previewing the season, you know, week 1 or 2. It's been a minute, but it flies by, man. Great to be on with you.
Always a pleasure. So I watched Oregon early, and I went, I don't know, man. You know, like, it just doesn't seem quite right. And, of course, they're the number one team in the country. That's why sports are great, college football especially. They're deserving of it. I love that game against Ohio State. But just kind of give me your thoughts on them and how for real is this? How much of a contender are they really?
For sure. And as somebody who had picked them to win the national championship before the season started and Dylan Gabriel to win the Heisman, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, right.
Am I going to look like a fool when this thing is all done? I'll say this, because they clearly, like you said, they're deserving of number one. That's why they're ranked number one. Their win against Ohio State might have been one of the more impressive wins of the season. But, man, for this is a fourth team we've seen number one this season. It's been sort of a revolving door, which we've never seen. Like, I still feel good about my pick, but I'm not, like, doubling down or anything, like pounding the table being like, yeah, I told you guys Oregon was going to be good. Because, like, I think everybody, there's about five teams at the top that I think are really good. I don't think anybody is unbeatable. I don't think it's like years where we see a Michigan run the table like last year, or an Alabama team with, you know, 15 players going to be drafted that looks like the clear-cut number one is just going to run through everybody. I think you'll see other teams, maybe even two other teams, get back to that number one spot before it's all said and done. And if we had that rematch again of Oregon-Ohio State, I might switch my pick on a neutral field, depending on kind of how both those teams develop towards the Big Ten championship game. I think it's awesome, but I love what Dan Lanning has done with the Ducks. The other thing, too, is the expectation was so high. We wanted them to be flawless from the get-go. You got to remember, in today's world, with all the new players, a guy like Dylan Gabriel, new to the system, it's going to take some time for them to gain some continuity. Along the offensive line, they've gotten consistently better. That's the thing I've been most impressed is, yes, they started off a little bit rocky, but they've gotten better and better every week, which is really one of the best parts about the game.
I'm going to skip past number two, Georgia, after they bullied Texas, and go to number three, Penn State, who I'm more interested and curious in. They are 6-0. They had that one near hiccup against Bowling Green, and then they really struggled early with USC, but came back to win going back a week and a half ago. But otherwise, they've kind of dominated everyone, and their defense is awesome. Road ahead, Wisconsin, then a top five matchup with Ohio State. I don't really see another real problem area for them necessarily. What's it look like for Penn State trying to run the table and stay in the top three?
So I love everything I've seen from Penn State so far. I think we're about to find out a lot about them in the next 2 weeks, but don't skip ahead to Ohio State. And that's why I think this weekend's matchup in Madison against Wisconsin is kind of a tricky spot for them. Like, Wisconsin, a lot of people wrote off, right? Alabama goes up to Madison, dominates them, wins by 3 touchdowns. Then the following week, they blow a 21-point lead against USC. They lose that game. But quietly, they have been dominating their schedule. And I know it hasn't been the best opponents going against the likes of Northwestern, you know, Purdue, some of the bottom dwellers in the Big Ten. But, like, they're dominating them. It's not like they're just winning. Their defense has been awesome. So I think this is a really good test for Penn State. I think that's something the line tells you as well. It's only a touchdown. I think, you know, historically you might think, wow, this situation, Penn State should be a, you know, at least a 2-touchdown favorite. And I love the progression of Drew Aller. I thought the game against USC was huge for him to take that. Who had over 200 yards receiving. But I'm kind of like, I want to see him continue to develop. And he's head in the right direction. But this is going to be a really hostile environment for him to step into. Going to Madison, I think it's going to be a little bit different than going to the L.A. Coliseum, where even Drew Aller said it felt like a home game with all the Penn State fans that were there.
Danny Cannell with us here on G&D. I want to ask you about Miami. Not all their fault, because, you know, when you make your schedule, you don't know that Florida State's going to be just atrocious or that Florida's going to be down. But that schedule is just wet tissue paper soft for them. But they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're winning all their games, and Cam Ward's legit. How much of a contender are they?
oh, they're the real deal because of that player, yeah. Right? I mean, Cam Ward is that guy. He's just that dude who can, you know, I was pounding the table for Florida State to go after him because I thought he was the number one target in the transfer portal that could really transform a program and take them from maybe an average team to a good team and a good team to being great. And I think he's on a good team, and he's made the Miami Hurricanes great. Now, I get the flirtations with disaster against Cal, against Virginia Tech, and then even last week there was a little bit of a close game, but they found ways to win, right? They're the number one offense in the country. Indiana's right there with them, but because of Cam Ward, they're just electric. I think their defense is adequate and getting better. Think of the 2019 LSU team with Joe Burrow. Their defense is similar to that, like not great, but they can get stops when they need them. And that's their path, I think, is to have that type of run led by your offense, by a superstar Heisman Trophy candidate and Cam Ward, just like LSU was with Joe Burrow. The thing that's really interesting about this, you mentioned the schedule, they most likely will not play a top 25 team at all the entire season, which is crazy considering they play in the ACC, but Florida State's down, a couple other programs are down. It's like, well, that's nothing they can do. So if they run the table, they'll beat Clemson most likely in the ACC championship game. They're a lock. And even if they lose to Clemson, they're undefeated. I still think they get in the college football playoffs. So I like the Hurricanes, especially because of their quarterback, who's a really special player.
Quick one on Clemson, you just mentioned. If they were to lose a second game, let's say they don't lose again before that, in the title game to Miami, would they still make the playoffs potentially or no?
I think so, but I'm not 100%, it depends on how that game looks.
Gotcha.
Like if they get run by Clemson or by Miami, I think they're done. But if they lose in a nail biter, so this is what's really interesting, this dynamic, because if they're 11-1 in the regular season and they lose in a nail biter, like we're going to punish them for playing a game that some teams don't even have to play in, because there's going to be other 10-2 and 11-1 teams that might get rewarded and get a pass to the playoff because they don't get a conference championship game. Does that make sense? Like, they won't have played that game. I think there has to be a reward for winning in the regular season. And then if you make your conference championship game, as long as you look the part, I think you've got to get that team in over a potential other team in your conference. Like, for example, SMU. If SMU's 11-1, Clemson's 11-1, but Clemson gets the nod to the ACC championship game but loses – how do you reward SMU just for not playing in the ACC championship game? That, to me, doesn't make any sense. So those type of dynamics are going to unfold when we start debating these teams at the end of the season. I would think that Clemson would be in because they were one of the best regular season teams. And then, of course, Miami would get the luxury of a bye, being the ACC champion. Clemson may have to go on the road somewhere and play somewhere tough for not winning it, but I think they would still be in.
You can see why we love Danny Cannell, who joins us courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football, playoff conference, Heisman, and college football week 9 lines. It's all available over at Bet Online. What about Notre Dame? They've got Navy this weekend. A lot of eyes are going to be on that game in the area here in Annapolis. I know they still have Army, who's a ranked team as well, coming up. I mean, it goes without saying they can't lose another game and get into the playoff, right?
No, they can't. And you know what bothers me is, you know, the Northern Illinois loss bothers me. It was a bad loss. Like, that one typically should be one that keeps you from the playoff, even if it's your only
That's
loss.
That's like disqualifying to you.
Yes, I think so. But with the expanded playoffs, we're going to go ahead and look at it from a new perspective. And they have taken care of business. They have won impressively. And who would have thought in a million years, because Notre Dame's schedule got picked apart, especially after that loss, it was like, well, what are they going to do to boost their resume? Florida State and USC were supposed to be those programs. Now you got USC under 500. Florida State's a one-win team, and it's like, well, now all of a sudden we turn our attention to these amazing stories for Army and Navy, who are both ranked and are both resume builders, which no one would have thought at the beginning of the season. I think this matchup really does heavily favor Notre Dame. And I love the story of Navy. I love the story of Army as well. I do think Army is slightly better. I trust them more to go toe-to-toe with Notre Dame. We saw Navy last year get beat 42-3 by Notre Dame, and that was a little bit sideways. I don't think it'll be that much of a blowout. I think Navy's a better team. But this is really where you start seeing the separation in the trenches on the offensive and defensive lines, and where usually you minimize that gap. is with the scheme that you run, which is very creative. They've always run option, and they threw and wrinkled in some more pass. But Navy sees this every year with playing the academy. So I think they're more equipped than most to handle it, which is, I think, what you'll see transpire in the game against Notre Dame. Against Navy.
You've touched on here throughout. Everybody gets a turn at number one, apparently. It's a game of musical chairs. Yeah. Texas was, and then they caught those hands from Georgia. That was a beatdown. Where do they go from here?
Texas, so they have Vanderbilt, which has been the trap game of all trap games. Remember, after Alabama beat Georgia, they went to Nashville the following week and lost outright to Vanderbilt. So that was like a wake-up call for the ages. I don't think that lightning strikes again, but what's very fascinating is the quarterback situation that's unfolding. Quinn Ewers, who I thought at one time was the best quarterback in all of college football, he's been a little bit hindered by this oblique injury that caused him to miss 2.5 games. I thought he struggled, didn't play great against Oklahoma. Sark, his coach, Steve Sarkisian, benched him against Georgia, which I thought was very odd considering he's won at Alabama. He's won at Georgia. He's been in big games. He'd had bad games before, and he never benched him. I wonder if there's something going on with his health, and I think they better be in for a physical game against Vanderbilt because that's the one thing that's been probably more surprising, maybe even than Diego Pavia, their transfer quarterback, who's been awesome, is how physical they've been. They better not be feeling sorry for themselves, licking their wounds after Georgia. They better be ready for a fist fight, because that's what they're going to get from Vanderbilt, which is a phrase I never thought I would utter in my 15 years of covering college football, is that you're playing Vanderbilt, you better be ready for a fist fight, but that's exactly what they're going to get.
Danny, I do not know what your take is on this, so I'm excited to ask this. But I will say, you and I have been in lockstep, I think mostly on Colorado. We're two guys that wouldn't be on Deion Sanders' Christmas card list, probably. But I do think Travis Hunter should be the Heisman Trophy winner. I go back to my childhood and Charles Woodson and not having seen anything like this. And as great as Ashton Gentry is, I wasn't impressed by Gabriel early in the year. I know Cam Ward maybe is the favorite in a lot of places now, which makes some sense. But we don't see something like what Hunter's doing. If he stays healthy, continues to make the impact he is on both sides of the ball, there's a feeling to me of the Heisman being synonymous with, like, who was the face of college football? Who was the best player that year? And nobody can do what this guy can do. It's amazing. What do you think about that?
It is. First, I'll give you my take on Colorado, because last year I took so much heat from Colorado fans, and really Colorado had a bunch of bandwagon fans on X who really jumped on me. I thought last year they were all smoke and mirrors. I thought they weren't a good football team, and we just hyped them up because they were a ratings bonanza and turned out to be right. This year I kind of went in saying, I don't know what we're going to get. I think they're a good team in the Big 12. Like, I think they're just a good football team. I don't know if they're great, but I think they're a good football team. Part of that is Shedeur Sanders, Deion's son. I think he's playing quarterback better than anybody in the country. He's keeping his team competitive despite a bad offensive line. The other reason is they have the best player in the country, to your point. Travis Hunter can make the case that he's the best receiver. I think he is the best cover corner. And, like, and to your point, we have not seen this. Yes, we've seen other two-way players, guys like Charles Woodson, who played sparingly on both sides of the ball. We saw Champ Bailey at Georgia do it sparingly. We saw Chris Gamble at Ohio State do it sparingly. We have never seen a guy average 115 snaps a game on both sides of the ball and really be the best receiver and the best corner all at the same time. And one thing that goes completely unchecked and undiscovered or untalked about, he has to, like, think about the aspect of just physically how impressive that is. I don't think anybody understands the mental workload that he has. Because of all those historical figures, they had a little package of plays, maybe 5 to 8 plays, run a post, run a go route. Here's a special play designed for you. Travis Hunter has the whole offense at his disposal, and Shedeur Sanders can call any route for him in the playbook. Like, they don't have to adapt to Travis Hunter. He's a wide receiver playing every play. It is phenomenal what he's doing. I think he should be the Heisman Trophy winner, but I'm starting to get worried about him because he's getting banged up, right? He came out of a game a couple weeks ago. Well, actually, the last two games in a row, he's left early due to a nagging shoulder injury. So he's got to keep up this thing that makes him special if he does. And I do think they have to get to 8 wins, which I don't think is crazy, although I do think they have a little bit of a tricky matchup this weekend against a resurgent Cincinnati team. But I'm with you. If he keeps having some highlight plays on both sides of the ball, keeps up averaging over 100 snaps, and Colorado gets to 8 wins, I'm a Heisman voter. I would have no problem voting him for the Heisman Trophy.
Speaking of a couple Heisman Trophy winners, what have you seen up a level from Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams? You know, Daniels really hitting the ground running, no pun intended. Williams, you know, maybe struggled for a couple weeks, but of late has been unbelievable. Anything surprise you? Anything kind of stand out to what they're doing at the next level?
I would say how fast Jaden Daniels has got off to the start. You know, like Caleb Williams has kind of got what you expect. Even last year with C.J. Stroud, who won Rookie of the Year, it took a little bit. Like he was sparked, you know, a little bit here and there. But when Jaden Daniels is averaging, you know, 75% completion percentage and is putting up these numbers and not making the big mistakes from the start, that to me is so impressive. And I think clearly it's a testament to the teammates around him. I think it's a testament to Cliff Kingsbury and the system that he's put him in. But I think mostly it's a credit to Jaden Daniels, who, again, I don't think we talk about the mental workload and what a high IQ it takes to play the sport at that level, especially at quarterback. But Jaden Daniels went in there from day one with the right attitude. Like, I'm going to go to work. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't go that way to work. Like, when I was a rookie in the NFL, I didn't think I was going to be a starter, but I was kind of happy. I was like, man, I got money. I would go out and spend it. And, you know, you wanted to enjoy being a professional athlete. And I don't know, maybe it's guys now are more equipped to do it because they've got money in college. But it took me a while to mature and realize what it took to be a professional franchise NFL quarterback. Like, you got to be the first guy there, the last guy out. You got to do everything that it takes. Some guys get it right away. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 years, and some guys never get it. Probably took me about 4 or 5 years, and it was probably too late when I realized it. For him to get it from that early is unbelievable, and I can't, you know, heap praises on him enough for how he's handled his success early and continues to develop. And Caleb Williams, I think we all knew he was in a great situation. I'm not surprised that he's going to make this race interesting coming down the stretch, because I think it's between, clearly the rookie of the year is between those two. I think Caleb's going to push him all the way through the season as he continues to progress.
And we're hoping Daniels gets to play Sunday. That is in question at this point, but the two of them on the field together would be a blast. Danny Cannell with us. A couple more moments here. We'll let him out on this. Former national champion and, of course, was the ACC Player of the Year and then had the NFL career he just referenced afterwards. Danny, what about the other rookie quarterbacks? Bo Nix. It was funny. I had not watched a lot of him. And then when I started digging in, almost all of his success is coming out of the pocket. Like, traditionally dropping back and throwing, it hasn't gone very well, but he's been okay overall. And then we've seen Drake May play now twice. What have you made of those guys?
So Bo Nix, I think, is giving you exactly what I thought. And I took a lot of heat because I didn't think Bo Nix should have been a top 15 pick. Like, I thought he was a late first rounder, probably early second rounder. I thought the Broncos stretched for him. But that's the trend. Everybody overdrafts their quarterback. But I think it's that game manager, right? But he's doing with his legs a little bit more conservative. I don't know if that, you know, deep pass game threat will get there yet, like you've seen from Caleb and Jaden. Drake May, I think this is just going to be a wash. But what you've seen is a couple glimpses of what he can be on probably one of the worst offensive surrounding supporting casts in the NFL. I really liked Drake May. I actually liked him slightly better than Jaden Daniels. And I think, you know, in the end, I might be wrong about that. But I had those top three kind of grouped in a class of their own. I thought J.J. McCarthy, who got hurt, and Bo Nix were a step behind. I think ultimately he'll play his way into that. But, man, it's going to be a long year for him because he doesn't have much around him. Which, again, one of those things we don't discuss enough is how important it is to have a good coordinator, good supporting cast, you know, good support system around you. But I really like what I've seen early from Drake May, just keeping his composure on a team that's not very good.
Danny, awesome as always, buddy. Pleasure to talk to you, man. Have fun this weekend.
You guys are awesome, man. Enjoy the games.
Thanks.
Sounds good. Danny Cannell joins us courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week 9 lines.
Love having Danny Cannell on the show to talk college ball.